been called in one whole bar call. One law, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and thank God most of He is in.
You are.
Can we say praise the Lord?
Israel saying, the
saw the giants of the sons of Anak, which come up of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their desperate. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. Lord, we thank you for the things that you've done that we don't even know about. We say thank you. Now, Lord, as we assemble together in thy presence, we ask you to speak. Lord, send a word from the Lord. Oh, God, we ask you in the name of Jesus. Lord, God, speak to our every trial, our every test, our every situation. Oh, God, search us, oh, God, and know our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts. Lord, see if there be any wicked ways and lead us by thy word to the way everlasting. Now, Lord, we believe that the anointing destroys and it breaks the yoke. Lord, God, our request is that you want to send your anointing.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, send the word of inspiration. Oh, God, whatever it takes, Lord, move in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
Lord, we ask you to saturate this sanctuary with your glory and your presence. Lord, for we never need a touch from the Lord. Oh, God, that we trust and believe that you've heard our prayer requests. And we thank you in advance, Lord, for what we know you're going to do.
Yes.
Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Amen.
Lord, we thank God once again for being in church.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God for all that he's done in our lives.
Amen. Amen.
You know, sometimes instead of, you know, anybody got a little trouble? Anybody got a lot of trouble? Amen. But your trouble is not with God. Because we understand through the word of God that God will never place more on us than we able to bear. And then I'm going to read a portion. I want to answer this. Go to verse 33 for a moment here. Because our thought will be coming out of the 33rd verse. And it reads, and there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Our message is, things aren't what they look like. Amen. Things are not what they look like. Well, how can you say they're not that? Because what God has been trying to do for the church and for his people for years is not to get us to see things through our natural eyes, but by faith to see them through our spiritual eyes.
Come on.
Amen. We have a tendency to limit God. We have a tendency to look at things and say, well, I know what God says, but that's not what's going to be. Well, Moses sent out the 12 spies, and they went to the land, and the land, they said, indeed, the land is everything that God said it is. And then why? Because the Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie, and neither is he the son of man that he should repent.
Right.
So whatever God has said has to be true. And the scripture said that, amen. In God, there's no ambiguity, there's no yea and nay. But everything in God is yea and amen. So they came back and said, well, indeed, Moses, everything that we saw is what God saw, said it was. But when we look through our natural eyes, amen, the people are great wall, the cities are wall. He said, we're not evil. Amen. To come against this. Why? They didn't realize that things were not what they looked like. So many times in the church and in our spiritual lives, we limit God because we leave out the spiritual. We leave out God's ability to move. We leave out God's ability to change. Amen. It's just like the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. When they got to the Red Sea, Moses understood, but the people didn't understand that things did not look like
on, Elder.
The challenge in all of our lives is that so many of us keep leaving God out. We make the Red Sea wider than any sea. We make these challenges greater than any challenge. But when they got to the Red Sea, where did God let them go? God led them by a pillar of fire by night and by a pillar of a cloud by day. Why? Because God was showing them, I am with you.
Yes.
Has God done anything in your life to prove and show that he's with you? And God sheltered and protected and kept you from some things and some of the other people around you have gone through. Yes. Amen. My wife said, you should have given your testimony. I said, well, they hear me all the time. But about a week ago, I was driving a truck and I came across Hoosier Street. Amen. And as we came across Hoosier Street, we hit the devil, came up, we heard, wah, wah. So I let the whole back of the truck and fell off. So I pulled over after I got to a safe place, and the whole gas tank had fallen off the truck. Amen. I said, Lord, thank you.
Amen.
You know, all it took was a gas and a spark. Amen. And we wouldn't be here today, so I said, Lord, thank you. I'm not here because of anything that I've done. That's what I like. In my troubled time, I didn't have to get out there and figure out how to get the car off the road.
Come on.
You know, all it took, the whole tank was so damaged that when it went to the shop, they had to replace the gas tank and everything. But God.
But God, right.
Coming in, he kept back the gas. He kept back the spark. Well, I'm going to quote it in chapter 14. The children of Israel, once again, to him for people. And Caleb said, if the God, if God delight in us, God will give us just what he says. He said, but there is a condition to get God's blessings. There is a condition to get God to move these giants and trials out of our way. He said, only rebel ye not against the Lord. We are trying to get God's blessings, but we're trying to do it our way. Paul tells the church in Corinthians, when a man thinketh a thing, he knoweth it not yet as he thinks about what he look like. Amen. Because all the ways of a man are clean or right in his own eyes. And there's a way that seemeth right. Wow, that's an natural eye. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'm going by my wife's experiences, and my wife's experiences tell me I'm at the Red Sea, and the only way I'm going to get across is I need a boat. Amen? That's what the natural eye say. Now, I'm not Peter, and I haven't been blessed to walk on water, but with God. Now, there's a spiritual significance to that too, because it talks about all the people were baptized in Moses. When you get baptized in water, then you get the spirit, so that when going through the water has a spiritual significance. But God was trying to show them that when I'm with you, there is no mountain too high.
Samuel said, certainly, the Lord's anointed.
because we are trying to fix them with our natural abilities. You can't fix it naturally because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God.
Right now.
Your change has to come because you're leaving the other. And we are actually practicing blind conformity. We're conforming to things that God never intended for us to conform to.
Right.
Amen. It's time to say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, give your mind to submit. And in submitting, you will see that God will begin to take all that crooked stuff and make it straight. All of those rough places, when you conform to the word of God, God will make them smooth. Somebody said, when I look back over my life, all I can see is trouble and woes. Amen. Are you fully submitting to God? Amen. Have you put your hands up and say, Lord, I surrender all? Are you still walking by your natural eyes? Amen. Was a young man, and he went to visit his brothers when they were in war with the Philistines. Amen. And the Bible lets us know Goliath was a formidable foe. He was a great giant. Amen. Believed in like 9 feet, 9 inches tall. So the children of Israel were engaged in the battle, but when the giant showed up, they would retreat back into the shadows. Amen. And Goliath said, here, I'm here to defy you and your God. Amen. But they were all a bunch of cowards because they did not see things as they were. Things just did not appear as they should be. So when they heard the challenge from Goliath, then they said, Goliath would come up with brass from head to toe. Amen. His sword weighed about 30 pounds, and he was so magnificent that his shield was so big, he couldn't even carry it. He had to have someone else carry his shield. So when Israel began to engage in battle, they saw the giant. Amen. But they forgot that God said that for God, that is nothing that is impossible. That all things are possible with God. Whatever you're experiencing, do not leave God out. Amen. Don't rebel against God. Refuse to rebel against his word. So it says that every time the lions would come out, even Saul, who was a giant himself, would run and hide because they were looking through their natural eyes. So all Israel was afraid. No one had the courage, the boldness, or the conviction to stand up for God. You see, David didn't stand up for Israel. David stood up for God.
Yeah, right, he did.
So when David heard the challenge, when David saw the giant, David said things are not what they look like in Israel. But Israel was afraid. So this is what happened when you try to do things naturally, or try to get your own deliverance with your own hand. When David went to talk to Saul, Saul, who was not even man enough to stand up for God, tried to equip David for the battle. Yes, since we have a lot of people that try to equip us for the battle, but they won't engage in battle. They give you all the right advice, but they are hiding in the shadows because they don't have any spiritual courage. So here, Samson tries to command David. He puts on all of his armor, and David said, I can't do this. I can't use this. This is not what God wants me to use. But Saul said, you can't really fight against Goliath anyway, because you're nothing but a child. And Goliath has been a man of war from his youth. David said, but you don't know the God that I serve. have in our possession that we fail to use is the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Right. Amen. He said, if you ask some things, if you ask a few things, he said, if you ask anything in my name, he said, I'll do it.
That's right.
David understood that. He said, when he went out to the life, he said, you come to me with a sword and a shield. But I come against you in the name of the Lord. Amen. David knew that of himself he could do nothing. But David knew that when he looked through the spiritual eyes of faith, things are not what they
look like.
I said, things are not what they look like. I don't know what anyone has gone through in the vision. But take off those natural eyes. It's time to come unto God boldly, that we may obtain some mercy and find grace to help.
In time of need.
A lot of us are not in our knees yet. We didn't fix some situations. But when we come boldly to the throne of grace, we're able to find mercy and grace to help. Read about it in Jeremiah chapter 32. He said, now is there anything Is there something too big in your life that God can't do it? No, there's nothing too hard for God. And then Jeremiah said, just to let you know that I trust God and his word. That everybody else was scared and fleeing. Jeremiah went and brought land because he said, one day God is going to bring us back. Why? Jeremiah knew God. And in his quest to believe God, he said, now you got to remember, Jeremiah stood alone as a prophet. The whole nation, priests, everyone else were having blind conforming. They were just conforming to what everybody else was doing. But Jeremiah made a stand. Even though they tried to extinguish Jeremiah, they tried to kill him. They even put him down in a pit to die. God was on his side. And God kept delivering him. God kept making ways for him. And God told Jeremiah, he said, because you've been faithful. It's something about when we make a decision to be faithful. He said, though Judah is going to be carried into captivity, God said, you've been faithful, Jeremiah. He said, what would you want? What do you want me to do for you? He said, I can take you to Babylon, and I give you peace, and I give you favor with the king of Babylon. He said, what is your choice? And Jeremiah chose to stay where he was at. Even when things got to their worst and it was so horrible, Jeremiah refused to get out of God. The question today, in our worst trial, how many of us are starting to get out of God? How many of us are starting to doubt God? How many of us have got to the point that said, no, we don't do it intentionally, but God's not moving it fast enough. So because God is not doing it like I want it, I'm going to take some stuff out of God's hand. That's when you get dangerous. That's when it gets bad, because you're trying to do something that only God can do. When the giants come up, you don't have to fear, you don't have to retreat, and you don't have to be afraid. Face the giants in your life. Amen. Every man is one of those different giants. Amen. My giant won't be your giant. Amen. My greatest trial, my greatest fear won't be your greatest trial of fear.
Come on,
but what we have as a universal or commonality or as the same thing is God.
Right.
God can change and make anything work together for the good.
Going to
faith. Sight is for those, and God can, you know how we go through our highs and lows. Pray in the morning on the mountaintop, and by the time all those giants face us halfway through the day, we can't even hardly lift our heads. Amen. It's time to be strong in the Lord. Amen. I like what the psalmist said, the King of Glory shall come in.
Right.
Let God fix it. Your quest to fix it won't make it better. It's not going to make it better. It's time to stop changing through our natural lives. Because there's a way that seems right. There's a way that feels right. But that's not always God's way. Samuel was a godly man. But he allowed his natural eyes and minds to influence him in a way that was contrary to God. When we start trying to fix it our way, you can be guaranteed it's going to be wrong. That's why the scripture says, when we submit to God, amen, when we obey to God, then we resist the tests, the trials, the challenges. Read about it in James. A lot of people think just resist not being trouble, but are you submitted? The scripture is not all about final verse, it's not all about submitting. When you submit to God, you say, God, here I am. Just as I am. I'm not trying to do it my way any longer. You know, I'm like 50 years old, they say something like that. Right? So I look back over those years. I don't know about what they say. That's about how they feel.
I tried out.
Right? But when I look back over those years, and I think so many times that I thought I knew what was right. Amen. There were times that I didn't ask God because I did the same routine day in and day out. So I was just going to do something, and then I get in the middle of the test, and I said, God, I need some help. Well, if I would have asked him first, I would have been where I was at. I would have been in a situation. Amen. One of the greatest challenges. You know, I said, church is a little long, right? But I don't see all the old Fridays. Some of y'all find something.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Come on.
But what I'm saying is, we've allowed so many things to take us away from God. But then we turn around and say, God is blessing me. God won't bless you if you don't submit. God can't help you when you're fighting against God. One of the things the apostles, and Acts chapter 5, when Gideon said, listen, if this thing ain't known as a God, leave him alone.
Come to naught.
When we try to do things in our natural eyes, we can't see God. So Gideon said, listen, you all are fighting against the apostles. He said, leave them alone. Because if this word is not of God, he said, it's not going to come to anything. It's going to come to God. He said, but if this be a God, that's why all these people do all this stuff about God, they don't worry about that.
Amen.
Because if this might be a God, if God is in it,
amen.
Want to fight?
That's right.
Well, no, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to pray that God have mercy.
Yeah, right.
Because if this word be of God, amen. Don't fight against it. Let's find yourself fighting.
God.
Unfortunately, in our lives, some of us have begun to fight against God. Amen. Because it don't look like what we think it should look like. It's not materialized like we think it should be materialized. Things haven't changed as fast as we think. So we have begun to fight against God.
Amen.
And you say, well, why do you say that? Because when you're in your worst trial, you think God first and you think my influences. When you're in your greatest challenges, do you think God first or do you think your who, what, and where? Many times when we get in our worst trial, we forget about God. Then when things get so bad, God fall out, we say, oh God, have mercy. Don't you realize you could have saved yourself from hardship? Some troubles, some things that God never intended. to God. In submitting to God, you know, I say, Lord, you know, just take it. When I go to God, I say, Lord, you know what? I don't care about the elder, the pastor. I just want to be a child of God. I don't care about the title. God, I just want to be your child. Amen. I kid around a lot, even with James, because I was kidding around a lot. I was saying a lot of crazy stuff, but I listen. When the road meets the road, I can do it right there. I talk crazy, but I know where my help comes from.
Right.
And my help coming?
From the Lord.
From the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
It does not come through my natural abilities. It does not come through what I do. The problem that many of us are facing is we keep trying to do what only God can do.
Yes.
Amen. And blind conformity, let me give you some examples of blind conformity. Blind conformity is when I get into trials, I call the mother, call the father, call the sister, call the brother, call everybody else. I got everybody else feeling sorry now for me. And I need to go to the source. Amen. It says, lift your eyes to the hills from which cometh your help. Blind conformity is, well, if I go to the lawyer, I go to the judge. No. If I go to the doctor, no. I go to Dr. Jesus.
Right now.
Amen. And then I submit to God. I say, now, God, I came to you first. Now I need you to order my step. The Bible says concerning Asa the king. Asa started off as a good king. Asa started off, his sole dependency was on God. But after 35 years, as most of us, again, most of us have got 30-something, right? Most of us have got 30, very few 20. After 30-something years, Asa didn't go to God first anymore. What the indictment that God had against Asa, he said, wait a minute, Asa, early, when you first got saved, when you wanted to be right, you came to me for everything. He said, now, Asa, you're going to man for what I can do. That's the church. You know, when you first got saved, you couldn't come to church too much. You couldn't sing and do more than nothing, God. But after time, after blind conforming starts shaping us and knowing us how. Not, we're not supposed to conform to this world, but what?
Transform.
The church has too much conformity. Well, what are we conformed to? Our mannerisms, our actions, our thoughts are like the world. But we want God to bless us. God won't bless that. God won't bless that. God will only bless when we live in submission to His will. Don't try to fix it your way. Like I said, I mess a whole lot of times. Probably will mess up a lot more, but I'm trying to get it right. What I'm saying today, don't do anything without first going to God. Don't make a move without going to God. So what he didn't answer was, be still. What God kept trying to emphasize to Israel through all their trials, he said, just be still.
That's right.
Well, why do you want me to be still and know that I'm God? We try to do what only God can do. Be still and know that He's God. It might not happen like we expect it to happen, but things are not what they look like. When I walk by faith, amen. When faith was Israel when they came to the walls of Jericho, the conformity to this world is, you know, we are these tanks. Because there's no way for us to get through that wall. But Israel at that time submitted to God. And it didn't make sense what God told them when they got to the walls of Jericho. They were high walled, there's a high walled city, and super fortified. And so I believe Jericho was so wide, I think they could have 13 chariots go around the wall at the same time. That's how wide the wall was. Now, when you get to that wall and you know that you got to get inside the city to defeat the enemy, things aren't what they look like.
True.
So they got there and God said, you know what I want you to do? I just want you to march around the city.
All right.
Now, Blind Kwame said, there goes those crazy church people. Can't imagine the people in Terre Haute that left Blind Kwame. What is wrong with them? All they know, they're not even making no noise. He just walked first day, walked around the city, one time, and leave. And they're going to make a whole lot of sense to them. Israel knew in Jericho, they know things weren't what they
look like.
So the same day, they did the same thing. Why? Because God had given them a plan.
Yes.
6 days, they did the same thing. Walked around the city and left. But then on the seventh day, God said that today, I want you to do it differently. You know, can you imagine after 5 days, if you see somebody just walking around the city, it's like, hey, God, you just go somewhere, you don't think about that. How are you going to defeat us and you down there and we up here? Because things are not
right.
And on the seventh day, they washed around the city 7 times. And God said, now, when you come around the 7th time, when you have made it the 7th time around, he said, all I want you to do is shout.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, to the natural mind, I know most of y'all say that's crazy. That was good back then. I like the scripture said, Jesus Christ is the what?
That's good.
When?
Yes. Forever.
The 7th time as we stand, they shout. And the Bible says, because God, they submitted and did not resist God. They shouted the walls. First, God wanted them to learn discipline. The discipline as the ministers and the grace team come forward. The discipline was just do what I say to do. Discipline is, well, how long? Do it for 6 days. And the discipline was on the seventh day. I want you to do something different. We must learn spiritual discipline. Well, what's discipline? It's total surrender. A lot of us